It doesn't say work for your salvation. Okay, Lord, I'm going to really work hard and I'm going to get those little stars on my report card and you're going to put another star because I prayed an hour. But do I have to pray more than an hour? Do you follow me? You cannot earn your salvation.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. It's great to have you tuning in as we begin a new week of Bible study. We're currently airing Pastor Bill's series, The Joy of Serving Jesus, from the New Testament epistle of Philippians. The message today is titled, Work Out Your Own Salvation. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to be in verse 12, and I'd like to read the text to you, just a few verses, maybe not all of them, but just a few. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Let me begin by reading, "Therefore, my beloved," Paul writes, "as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation," work out your own salvation, one more time, "work out your own salvation," how? "With fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." And the church says, amen. What a great word this morning. You know, listen, we had a break last Sunday. We weren't here. I think that was Valentine's Day, and I could be wrong about that. But remember, you know why we weren't here? Snowmageddon, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and aren't you glad that I'm not teaching? I didn't teach last time because if we went to verse 14, it would say, do all things without complaining and murmuring. And I can promise you that last Sunday I was complaining, and as many people across the state. So thank God, look, I mean, you had 81 degree weather this week. This is crazy, isn't it? But with all that being said, as we return to Paul's joyous letter to the church at Philippi, the epistle of joy, if you will, and remember that when we left off the last time, we were talking about in verses 1 through 11, the attitude of Christ or the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 is a command, and it says, let this mind or let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we learned last time we were together on a Sunday that we are to act and react and think like one man and one man only, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Whenever the believer and whenever the church doesn't embrace the command of Philippians 2:5, the believer and the church, we will live below our calling. Oh, we never want to do that, loved one. So now, in beginning in verse 12, what Paul does, he tells us now how to do it, okay? So let's begin, and Paul writes, and he says, therefore, that's verses 1 through 11, all right, that we covered last time, the mind of Christ. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence, look what we're to do. Work out your own, say that word with me, own, your own. Work out your own salvation, how? With fear and trembling. Paul in a prison cell, he is chained to a guard. He calls the Philippians, he calls us as well, beloved. Did you know that that word is only used for believers in the Bible, that we are the beloved of God? Isn't that good to know? Not only that, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:6 that God has accepted us in the beloved, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father right now loves you, loves me, just as much as he loves his only begotten Son that he sent to this earth to die for the sins of the world. If that doesn't change your heart, nothing will. Amen? Oh, how he loves us, loved one. Listen, so Paul does something here as he opens up. He commends the Philippians. He's saying, man, he says, you know what? You always obey. When I was with you, you were always obedient, but now I'm not with you. Now, much more with me being absent, You're to do something. You, not me. You can't lean on me now. Paul says, I love you, but I am in prison, and I'm not there for you. He says, you have an individual responsibility, as we have as well, every believer. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, loved one, how is that done? Well, the Bible is so clear about that. Now, listen, the word work or work out in the Greek is just one word, actually. And what it means in the Greek is to bring something to its full completion or to its ultimate conclusion, okay? In other words, it's like a good example would be a math problem. In other words, 2 + 2 is 6? Who said 6? This is a dangerous side. No, if you're going to bring, 1 + 1 is 2. You can't change that. You brought that math problem out to its ultimate end. It can never change. That's the way it is. Its ultimate conclusion. So that's what it means to work out your own personal possession, your own salvation. Now listen very carefully. This is where many different believers get in trouble. And also some pastors get believers in trouble if not teaching the text accurately. I'm not judging or condemning anyone. It doesn't say work for your salvation. Oh, if I'm just okay, Lord, I'm going to really work hard, and I'm going to get those little stars on my report card, and you're going to put another star because I prayed today. I prayed an hour. But do I have to pray more than an hour? Do you follow me? You cannot earn your salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. Amen? We have nothing to boast about. It's all, salvation alone is from God. So we're not talking about working for or working to be saved. That's not what this text means. So you have to forever remove that out of your heart and out of your mind. Every believer in every generation is to work out his own salvation, bring it to its ultimate conclusion, which is one thing: Christ-likeness. Amen? That's what that word means. In Paul's day, that Greek word, that single Greek word, which work out, it was used to, like if you worked a field and you would bring in all the harvest that you could, or like working, say, a mine, a silver mine or a gold mine, and you would go to work, you have to get it. In other words, all the gold is yours. Amen? But you're not going to be able to get it unless you what? You got to work. And so salvation is a huge gift from God, a free gift from God. We're born again, but it's like a gift that has to be unwrapped over time. That's what this is talking about. So with all that being said, salvation here, very important. We're not talking about being born again. They were already born again. Amen? Okay, so it's not about working for something. Again, they were already born from above. So we know that the salvation that Paul used, that term, has nothing to do with the word, for example, justification. Justification, remember, is a one-time act. It never happens to the believer again. Justification is not a feeling. It is a divine fact. It is a judicial decision from Almighty God that whenever the believing sinner, like me, there I was on the beach in Florida, over 45 years ago. And there I was on the beach in Florida. I didn't know what justification meant. But the moment that I confessed Christ as my Lord and believed in my heart, I was born again and I was justified. Romans 5:1, I was justified by faith in God. Faith in Christ. Amen? Therefore, I have peace with God. Now listen, the moment that I prayed that prayer, a one-time act occurred. God declared me, the believing sinner, never to be guilty again. That's my position. You understand? Therefore, there is now no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because justification is divine imputation. Remember what imputation means? It means to take what belongs to another person and bring it over and place it into your account. So when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, one-time act, never repeated, the spotless, perfect, sinless record of Jesus Christ became our record. And when God looks at you, he sees you absolutely perfect because you were in his son who is absolutely perfect. Do you understand? And the only way that you can ever lose your righteousness is for Jesus to lose his, and he can't. We have right standing with God forever and ever and ever and ever. But the salvation here that Paul is talking about is not justification, it is sanctification. And sanctification, loved one, is not a one-time act. Sanctification is an ongoing, lengthy process all of your life where you are being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit from glory to glory into the very image of Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're on the same page then. We know we can't earn it. We know that we're not working for it, but we're doing something else. The Bible talks about our sanctification. It says in Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom God foreknew, he also predestined," that word means to mark out beforehand, and that happened in eternity. It says, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. The word predestined scares a lot of people. Did you know that the word predestined is never used for lost people? Never. The word predestined in God's word is only used for believers, and it is a beautiful word. What does it mean? It means to arrive at a certain destination, to arrive at the ultimate conclusion. And what is God's ultimate conclusion for every believer? To be conformed into the image of Christ. Amen? Okay, that's our Christ-likeness. Now, with that being said, Paul the Apostle, he says this in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord," here it comes, "are being transformed." That's a verb. It's a process, a continuing, ongoing process. We are being transformed into the same image, meaning the image of Christ, from glory to glory, and the agent of that transformation, it says, is the Holy Spirit that is working in us. So justification now, we're talking about that big word salvation. Justification is a matter of imputation, but sanctification is a matter of transformation, an ongoing process into Christ-likeness. So Paul says here, he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," because I'm in prison, I can't help you now. He says, "I want you to bring to your ultimate conclusion, or I want you to work out your own salvation." And he tells us how. He says, "I want you to do it with fear and with trembling." Now, there are two reasons I believe Paul said that. Are we to be afraid of losing our salvation? No. I mean, do you think that God saved you and then 10 years later he goes, "Man, I made a big mistake"? You know what I mean? "You are too much for me and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to erase your name out of the book of life, and you're one of the sheep, or used to be a sheep, and you're going to be gone, and we're not going to come after you." No. The good shepherd doesn't lose sheep. He keeps his sheep. He's not a hireling. Amen? Oh, no. So when we look at this scripture, loved one, about that fear and trembling, there are two reasons. Now, we know that the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, that we are to walk in the light even as he is in the light, meaning God. And we have what? Koinonia. We have fellowship one with another, not just you and me, but with God the Father, okay? So when we think about these reasons, fear and trembling, one of the reasons is this, that we should be afraid of failing to not do what God says. Wouldn't that be horrible? Here you are, man, we are children of God, and yet we get stuck in glory. We go from glory to glory, and then all of a sudden, here's the new birth and maybe the upper room experience, and maybe we taught Sunday school, and then boom, the glory, we're stuck right there. Well, see, we have a problem. See, anytime we have stopped going from glory to glory, the reason has to be that we're starting to resist the Holy Spirit and not being obedient, because the Holy Spirit is going to take you from glory to glory. Does that make sense? Okay, so the first reason we should operate in fear and trembling is to say, "Man, listen, I don't want to fail.
I want to take it to the ultimate conclusion. I want to do exactly what God says concerning my salvation. Now, and the other reason is this. And you know, I pondered and meditated about what I'm about to say to you. And the main reason for fear and trembling is found in verse 13. For it is whom? It is God. It is God who what? Listen to me. Christian, is that scripture, is it too familiar to you? I mean, is there no fear, no trembling? Listen, God is working in you. Does that not blow you away? I mean, go look in the mirror. You know, I mean, when I think that Almighty God, the creator, the sustainer, the supreme ruler of all the world, the one who said light and light was, amen, light be and light was, the one who, before anything, he created it all, God, the only true and living God, he is working in you. He is working in me. The one who dwells in unapproachable light came into our hearts. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he is working in you. I'm going to tell you something. To me, that blows me away. That drives me to my knees. It humbles me that God loves us so much. He says, I'm not only going to inhabit you, I'm going to work in you till the very, very end. Oh, praise God for that. Now listen, in verse 12, remember the word work there means to bring your salvation, my salvation, to its ultimate end or its ultimate conclusion, okay? But when we get to verse 13, the word work that's there is not the same word in the Greek. That word means the energy or the power of God or his divine ablement is working in you, and it is working in you right this minute. He energizes us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he, meaning God, who began a good work in you will complete it, will finish it, will bring it to its ultimate conclusion till the very day of Christ. Paul understood that everything that he did wasn't him. It was God working in him. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says, but by the grace of God, he says, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. It wasn't wasted, Paul writes. Now listen to what he says. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, meaning all the other apostles and all the other teachers and so forth. I labored more than all of them. And listen to what he says now. Yet not I, but the grace of God, the divine favor of God, the power of God working in me. See, Paul knew that the Christian life cannot be lived in the power of the flesh. It has to be lived in the power of God. See, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling does not come by self-effort. It does, but it doesn't. Why did I say that? Because what did Jesus say in John 15:5? Without me, you can do some things. Did he say that? No, he didn't say that. Jesus was emphatic. He said, listen, without me, you can do nothing toward eternity. You can do nothing without me. Man, I am the vine, you are the branches, and you better stay connected to me because I am the life, amen? So when we look at this here, you know, it's not our self-effort, but listen to me now, but me, we have to work. Have you ever noticed a person, for example, you haven't seen them in about 3 months, and all of a sudden you see them and you go, oh my, I hardly recognized you. Have you been working out? And they've got those big muscles, and they have one ab, or like me, one ab, that's it. You know? But they have, you understand what I mean? And you go, what have you been doing? You say, I've been working out. So when you work out, it's visible to the other person, isn't it? Okay, well, how in the world, loved one, when we think about this, I cannot have the mind of Christ without working. I have to open the Word of God and renew my mind to God's Word. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we have to be constantly renewing our mind, replenishing our mind to the Word of God. Now, with all that being said, it is God who works, energizes in you. You know, Jonah, the prophet, in Jonah 2:9, he said this. He said, salvation is of the Lord. It's not of man. Salvation is purely of God and God alone. You did not, I did not make myself alive. I was dead in trespasses and sins, just as you were, but God has made us alive. God has now seated us in heavenly places with our Savior, Christ Jesus. So when you think about of all of that, in other words, when you go, okay, you're being tempted and you run from temptation. Well, who's really running from temptation? Is it your flesh? Is it the old man? The old man runs to temptation, doesn't he? Yes. He loves being a slave. No, the reason that you resist being tempted or you get out of that situation or you say, no, I'm not going to that place. I'm not looking at that. I'm not doing that. It's because God is working in you. He gives you the power that you need to defeat it. Amen? Why is it that that you love others? Really, be honest. You know that there's time people can make you so mad. That means you too. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But then something happens within you, and you say, no, I'm going to, no matter what they did to me, even the lie they told about me, or the gossip which is of the devil, any of those things, I choose to love. Why? It is you working out your own salvation by the power of God who is working in you. Does that make sense? Romans 5:5, and this does not disappoint, for the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given unto you. You have all of his love living there. Why do you pray? Why do you go into your office and you say, I'm too busy, and you know you should pray, and then you go into the kitchen, get a cup of coffee, say, I've got to do my work. I've got to get to work, and then you stop, and you go back into your prayer closet, and you pray. Why? Is it because, you're just a prayer warrior? No, I'll tell you why. Because it is God working in you, and you are working out your salvation to its ultimate conclusion. That's why you're doing the things you do. Why is it that you don't want to sin? Well, you're born from above. You're a new creation in Christ. But the reason is that God is working in you to give you the ability to do those things. Never forget that. Any goodness, now listen, any goodness that we have, any goodness that we exhibit, it's not our goodness, it's his. Why? Well, we're working our salvation out to its ultimate conclusion. And while that's happening, God is the one doing all the work in us with his power. Boy, and once you see that and you allow that to happen, loved one, everything changes. Listen to what Peter said at the end of his life in 2 Peter 1:3. He says, as his divine power has given to us all things, everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers or sharers in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, listen to what God just told us what he's done, but listen to what we are to do, our working out our own salvation. He says, but now, for this very reason, giving all diligence, that word means make every effort or to work out, bring to a conclusion by adding your faith to virtue and knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and self-control, and it goes on to brotherly kindness and love and so forth. Listen, God has not only called us, he's enabled us, and he does so by his power. So we are to work out what we have received from the Lord, which means we have a responsibility to walk in Christ's likeness and so forth. Now look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you. Again, it's not your power, it's not your strength, it's the power of another, the Holy Spirit. For it is God who works in you, energizes you to do what? Both to will and to do for whose pleasure? His pleasure, his good pleasure. Let me read the Phillips translation. For it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will, giving you the power to achieve his purpose. Loved one, we have all the power that we need. Amen? I mean, God's power is infinite. It's unlimited. Man, we have everything that we need is working in us right now.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. Thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.